I'd like to thank Linda and HMA for inviting us down here to speak to you. For as many in this room know, that know us, we've been doing this for about 25 years now. Working, I'm a third generation sawmiller, and the son was fourth. And what we've found out a long time ago, Northeast, as many of you know, there was a brokerage firm called Connecticut Valley Chipping that was responsible for furnishing most of the furnish to the pulp mills, cogen plants, and other uses, MDF plants in the old days, which now is a pellet operation. But basically, what we found, growing up as a sawmiller, as a kid, you know, I had several duties. One was, when the chip buyer came into the sawmill, my dad would give me a kick in the pants and say, "Get down and clean off the screens before before that chip buyer got down there and saw the fact that the screens were all plugged up." Never knew really what that was all about. Through the experience of working and attempting to buy Connecticut Valley Chipping, within about 6 months, I realized that the customer, being the pulp business, pulp industry, knew less about chips than we did as sawmillers. That surprise anybody? And it's still that way to a certain extent. We've done what I started to do 25 years ago, was to learn as much as I could about the customer so we could help ourselves. Okay? It segued into going from stump now through the digester. That's what my company does. And we do different portions of that. We've used an acronym called MAX, which is Measure, Analyze, Corrective Action, Sustainability. We have SFI, as everybody does. That's a big part of the game. So what we do is look at the customer, your customer. We look at what you're producing and try to get the two to meet. What we found as an industry overall, and this is something you need to take to heart when you go back to your operations, the pulp mills, 97% of them now across North America, are all testing chips on thickness. They're no longer testing chips on length. We in the sawmill side know what? Chip length, chip size. The new sizing requirement is thickness, because just like in the lumber side, you're trying to increase your yield from every given log going through the process, right? The pulp mills are now doing the same thing. They've been doing it for about 15 years now. They finally figured out if they get reduce the distribution, get all 10-inch logs, so to speak, all the same size, they can make a whole lot of pulp. And to do that is them testing, measuring, and having equipment to size the product which we're making on thickness rather than length. I'm going to go through it pretty quickly here. So to us, you know, this area here is all the things we can control on the sawmill side, which is debarking. I mean, chip quality starts in the woods, okay, with the guys out there with the shears and feller bunchers and grapples and everything else, pinching, grating, splitting the wood and everything else, handling all the way through. And then when it gets debarked, or you to even debark it, okay, if it gets over debarked, we're losing lumber, feet per, right? Because we're taking, if the guy over debarks, I was the kid, I don't know, 15 years old. And my dad, he was just a little guy. How I got so big, I know where his shoes planted. Because on Saturday morning, my job was running the debarker. If he came in and saw those logs over debark, he chewed pretty good. When we go out now throughout the entire industry, we see people, I don't care if it's a ring, I don't care if it's a rosser head, I don't care if it's a drum, people are over debarking. Because the testing method that's being utilized by the customers tends to be flawed. Anybody realize it's accounting season? How do you hire an accountant? Yes, what You asked what 2 and 2 is, right? What's the answer? Thank you, sir. What do you want it to be? Exactly. And that's just because standards and protocols and stuff have been really adopted, utilized, not changed as the industry has changed. Okay? I don't know today exactly like it used to be, but we used to say that our biomass fuels and our sawmills paid our variable costs. The lumber market dictated whether we made or lost money. But always try to make sure that the biomass fuels paid our variable costs. So that's why it's so darn important. The big thing I want to talk to you about is this chip screening and resizing. The industry, if they haven't done it already, is going to push the chip quality requirements back to you all. If they haven't done it already. And that's because, and the thing is, you right now don't have the ability necessarily to give them what they're looking for, which is this chip thickness. Using rotary screens, round holes, square holes, wire woven, whatever. That's not the way to do it. There are some manufacturers in this room, the unnamed, that I started talking to about 7 years ago about designing a screening system at the sawmill level, which would be cost effective, to give the customer what they need. More importantly, for Charlie and the guys in the pellet business, give them what they want. Screen out the things that pellet ones don't want, raise the value. Screen out those products which have a higher value to the pellet industry so they don't have to put all the resizing into it. That's the game. All right. This presentation, there's like 40 jump sticks that I'm going to give to Linda, or USB thumb drives, and you talk about putting this all on the member webpage. This is all going to be there. I believe this to my soul, because I've been doing it too darn long now, that these numbers are achievable or you can overachieve them. There's just a little graph. Actually, my son put this together. What the potential return was, if you did the things to improve your chip quality, which starts with the debarker, through the infeed, through the chippers being set up correctly, the screening being correctly, you can take and return yourself anywhere from $1 to $3 a ton for additional revenues. If you go ask your chip customer for a buck with $3, what are they going to say? Are they going to laugh at you? Okay. So we kind of turned around and said, look, you know, let's see what we can do internally to ourselves to improve things. And this goes, this is kind of a 1,000 board feet per week, which is pretty small. Actually, pretty, you know, for a hardware mill, it's pretty good. But you're looking for an annualized basis, real conservative, $125,000 for just tuning your equipment. We talk about these steps. I'm going to go through these pretty quick. You know, what we do is go in and look at all levels. We start whether in the pulp mill or who your pulp customers, we're all over. And I just came from Marta, Alabama. I'll be down in Charleston, South Carolina on Monday. Work with them to help them set the standard, understand what they can get and achieve, and then go out and work with the suppliers. I think there's many people in this room that I've worked with, okay, to achieve that chip quality. So, and by looking at the equipment, okay, just want to go back to this for a second here. Let me go back. This, is that you? Okay. This is the type of screening. You all know what you've got now, which is these woven screens or round screens up here. This is the type of screening which they're now using at most of the pulp mills. Because what happens is the distance between the rolls is the size of the chip that falls through. So they can very control their finds and pins. They can control their accepts and what they want to go to their resizers. We up here are not screening on thickness, they're screening on length. You can't do it. So we're being, over the next 5 years, there'll be a major change. You're going to see all these screens that we have now, they're going to become obsolete. Hate to say it. But there's going to be, you're going to have to put some sort of thickness screening in to meet the requirements. So our first step is to, whether it be at your level at the sawmill or at the pulp mill, is to understand where you are. Put a stake in the ground. Second step being go through and analyze and see what's causing that. We have, for years, adopted health design, TAPI standards and everything else as far as measuring, correlating length to thickness, how the machine setups are to achieve the goal. The biggest single thing is back in the measuring, is how much wear, how long are you going before you need to retune, retool, reset up the chipping equipment you have. And I don't care if it's a canter or a chipper or what it is. I keep saying that as I go around the world, I've seen the last type of chipping equipment made. And I found just recently a homemade one, which I want to get into, but it worked. They're all based on the same technology, so it's pretty simple. So for you folks, it's adjusting to whatever your customer is looking for. You do it on the lumber side, the chip side the same. The OEM manufacturers, okay, the old dogs like me, I used to think I was a young dog, but I'm an old dog, okay, are far in between usually. They don't have the time or have the resources to send people out like they used to. So we've kind of filled some of that void for those that need that. This is obviously what we're on, project we're on right now. Now this is at the pulp mill level, but essentially resetting all the equipment so they can maximize the yield off their own chipping equipment. The claim to fame that the industry has now is where we just were in Marta, Alabama. This is going to be a hard number for you guys to understand. They're averaging over 10,000 tons a day on a single chipping line. With over 95% CQI, or chip quality index. They virtually do not have to screen their own chips before they go to their digester. That is huge. That's not 1 million. That's a lot of zeros behind one. They're saving $10 to $12 million a year. What does that do for us? If you've got a hardwood customer, chip customer, if they improve their own situation, if you get the yield up for them, so to speak, it's going to keep them in business. I don't know in all your areas. I know up where we're from, the Northeast, our sawmills, what was the number, Jeff, in the old days? 250 sawmills in New Hampshire? How many are there now? Ross? Last name standing? Okay. And most of it's because there's no pulp mills. There's no place to get rid of the residuals. So we've got to keep them in business. And we do. Sustainability is something, when I started this business 25 years ago, I would go in and help people reset their equipment, whatever. Sometime 20, 30, 60 days, a couple months later, I get a call. Can you come back? We're out of compliance. There was no sustainability piece for the supplier or the customer to follow the trend, what was going on. So we developed an online program, which essentially all the data comes from the customer, which is viewable by the suppliers, by the customer, whatever. We call it ChipMax. Crazy. Okay? And what it does is they have an idea of what's called pulping curve. This is where they want your chips to be, this kind of blue. I don't know if you can see the blue. What that is, now just quickly, it's 0.5% fines typically, 1.5% pins, 15% thins, which are 2 to 4 millimeters, and then they'd love to have everything be 4 to 8 millimeters. And then out here, they have resize the equipment to resize the 8 to 10 and over 10 millimeter. Did I say anything about a half-inch chip, a three-quarter inch chip, a 7/8 inch chip? No, because that's not how they've been measured. Because this distribution maximizes their yield through their digester. This up here is a supplier, a single supplier, that shows this green up here is what we call the CQI. Well, it is 100% minus pins and fines, minus anything over 15% 2 to 4, anything over the aggregate of 20% 8 to 10 and over 10. So it's just a visual tool to see where they are. What I want you to see, though, in this particular vendor, okay, how tight the shock group is. I don't know if you can blow that up or not. Can you expand that for me? Can you pick the size of that up, that page? No? Don't worry about that. Don't worry. But what it is a very tight shock group. In other words, there's very little standard deviation in those numbers. So the customer of these chips is extremely happy. What the supplier's doing or the sawmill's doing down here, okay, is they're screening out a bunch of stuff to a higher value to sell for the pellet mills. Okay? Pulp mills don't want it because they're going to turn into boiler fuel. So they don't want to pay chip price for boiler fuel. You're going to see some numbers here in a second. It'll be staggering. We developed this program to give back on a weekly basis to the suppliers. This is a supplier report. Where they stand. So there's an upper and lower control limit. They want you above the green. You know, if you dip down here, they want to see this kind of action. They want to see it go right back up. And they want to see the curve be where they want you, you know, where they want you to be. And then they give you back your data so you can see what issues you've had during the week. This is kind of what we find out in the industry. This is on 119 samples, so it's pretty statistically correct. This is the curve they want, or the type chips they want, which is that 0.5, 1.5, 15, 63, 10, and 10. This is what this particular supplier was making. And or what they were sending to their digester. So it identifies the opportunity or the issue to make the corrective action, which is the next piece. Now, just as a correlation up here, this correlation is for a disc type chipper. This mean, or the ideal chip, is 6 mil they're looking for, so you'd have to make it a 7/8 to 15, 16 chip year round. We're down south. We're down in Alabama. The supplier's down there. Even down there, they have to make seasonal changes to their chipping equipment as far as setup. Why? Who knows? What's that? Moisture content. Sap up, sap down. We just had a technical group had a battle with them the day before yesterday. They didn't believe. They said our moisture content is 50% year-round. Yes. I don't think so. So we plotted the 700 data points they had and said, "How? What are you talking about? It goes as high as 59%. The average, actual upper control was 53.2. Lower was 51. So it's a 2.2% change in moisture. That dramatically changed how they run their equipment, which is going to help out the suppliers a whole hell of a lot. Some steps. You know, we go through and whether, I don't care if it's a pulp mill or a sawmill, a large wood yard, we highly recommend that you do your own chip quality testing. Many of you got more than one piece of chipping equipment in your facility. More than one chipper. You may have canters if you're on the softwood side. Everyone's making a different chip. You're screening it out. Screening changes the methodology. So there's some simple, easy, very cheap ways to go in and to put that type of equipment in place and get control of your own process. These are some fancy things where these are sampling points or sampling tubes, automatic one, just a It's important to collect the sample the same way in order to ensure the fact you're not biased in the data. The old accountant routine, right? If you know what you're doing, you can really bias what the chip sample looks like. This is the automated equipment which they use at a pulp mill. This happens to be a Grade X. This is what is highly recommended. You put in the larger sawmills and in the chip plants. This happens to have round hole trays in it. Old technology. All it is, the trays are bars, just like they're in this. They just become bars for thickness. I want to show you something here, which is that's the moisture. This is nothing you have to be concerned with. This is the problem. I just want you to understand your customer's issue. They cook your chips based on a kappa number, the amount of lignin that gets displaced. This kappa of 70, which is for softwood, is a pretty soft, gentle cook, okay? But for every 100 pounds of fines they get, they only get 13 pounds of pulp out of it. For every 100 pounds of pins they put in, they only get 26 pounds. The thins, 44. The best they get is 52.12 pounds of pulp out of that. Kind of your log analogy with your scanners and everything, okay? Because they've got reprocessing equipment, they get very, very close to this primary fraction because they're reprocessing it. So if you were buying, you were the customer buying, what would you buy? You push this curve, you say, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this, all the small stuff, and you push that curve to the right. Sir? All the above. Here's the thing. I didn't put it in this presentation. I have that. I don't think I put it in the presentation. I think it's on Linda's slides. I have the expectations from sawmills with and without screening, sawmills which are just chippers, sawmills which are chippers and canters, in the woods chipping, which is flail, non-flail. I have the expected non-screen best practice, so to speak. Okay, if that's useful to you, I'm going to give Linda a sign-up sheet. Pardon me? Yeah, just go. Rock and roll. Okay. The one thing on the whole tree chipping is, and this is pretty much across the board, I don't care if you're using the Peterson, Morbark, I'll just call them red, blue, yellow, green, okay? They weren't set up for pulp wood chipping. Remember the slot you get down the bottom of the throat to the knife on the bottom? The newest red Morbark came out. They finally put a horizontal anvil back in. They got it so we can adjust that within 50 thousandths like it's supposed to be. Because, unfortunately, as you know, thinnings and everything else, the wood's got what? Bigger or smaller over time? Smaller. So you're chipping more down that floor. And to do that, turn sideways, you make lots of slivers, and then you get that side shoot. We eliminate the side shoots. You have? Okay. Perfect. Well, tree limb's a different animal anyway. It's awesome. But you're absolutely correct. This curve, the blue curve doesn't change. What's parting? That's what we do. That's why this doctor, you know that doctor analogy? Someone asked me, I said, that's a crazy name, the chip doctor. I didn't take credit for it. My 11-year-old daughter did when she was 11 years old. I had to go speak at a TAPI or a MOTAG conference or something. She said, Dad, you need something to carry all your stuff in. So she and Mom went down to the mall and bought a little, like a flight bag. And she put my daughter on, got little white vinyl letters, and put the chip docker on it. And then she also went to a little kiosk where they made hats and embroidered hats and did our first, I swear to God, Linda's got one somewhere. Hold it up, Linda, okay? Chip docker hat, which has not changed. Okay? All right? I went there. I started to leave the house with my normal stuff. And my wife says, you better go back and get that bag and that hat. Your daughter's going to... So I went back, I took it to the meeting. Forgot to take the stuff off. Okay? And it was all... There was that day Champion, Weyerhaeuser, Donpar, everybody was at this meeting I spoke at. And they said, that's really neat, the chip doctor. So we've never changed it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? But you're absolutely correct, okay? Garbage in, garbage out, right? Okay, the biggest single thing we see with chippers is people do not keep up with their wear parts, being the anvils, disc wear plates. They're not set up correctly. The chip slot or A dimension's bad or not set up correctly. And then the most single biggest thing is the spout transition going in is not all the way up as close as you can get it to that disc. Because of all the blocks and stuff that you're chipping, okay, turn side. Once it's straight, right, and then when it gets falls off in the transition, it turns sideways, and it gets pushed to the side, what's that going to make? You lose. Because those overs go up on the screen, you may be reprocessing them, you lose the money like crazy. So we'll show you how to fix that. Let me see what else I get here. It's interesting. Here, this is interesting, okay? This is hardwood. This is at the mill level. It doesn't show who it is, I hope. No, it doesn't. On 720,000 tons of purchased fiber a year, okay, they actually, by moving the curve, which is bizarre, it's actually too far to the right, it's over, back to the blue line, there's a $3 million opportunity to them. Typically at a pulp mill, there are opportunities by working with you folks, helping you, okay, is anywhere from $10 to $15 million a year of fiber return. Take that number, multiply by three, and that's the return through the pulping process. And less chemicals, less energy, less heat, yada, yada, yada. So it's a huge number. It's what has kept some of the pulp mills in business by paying attention to their raw material. Like you guys buying logs. Get a bunch of junk, what are you going to get? Garbage. As Charlie said, garbage in, garbage out. So, let's see if there's anything else here I want to... This is... The reason it's so small is this is an actual list of suppliers starting with their own wood yard going down through by volume and what the savings are. The targeted savings at this mill on hardwood was $7 million a year. That will help keep them in business, trust me. 7 plus 21, three times that. You're looking at $28 million just by getting them buying, producing what they need. The same graph, the same numbers are over here for the sawmill supplier, what they would save by making a better chip internally for themselves. What's it, low-hanging fruit? Found money? No capital? It's all just settings, repair parts. You know, when the chippers go in, they're set correctly for what the customer needs. There's a bunch of chipper manufacturers here, and sometimes and most times not, okay, they'll tell the customer will tell the supplier what size chip they're looking for. But it's always what? Anybody ever tell, anybody here it's on the chipping side back there, ever being told to make a 6 millimeter chip? With, say again? You are now. Yep. So it's a big deal. It keeps us. Charleston? You going to Charleston? Meet me Monday. I'll be there. Yeah. I'll be there Monday. I can go into in briefings at the pulp and paper mill, which we do. And one of my first questions, I'll look at the pulping engineers or the pulp mill manager or whatever and say, what size chip do you want? I don't know. Okay? And it's been that way for 20 years. They've moved a little beyond that. They know what they're looking for now. They don't know how to get it. So I figure I got another 5-10 years here to ride this road, okay, to help them get, okay? But they're doing, it's, if you don't know, if they don't know what they're looking for, so what we do is we pick, can I get this to go backwards? We pick a distribution. We agree on a target line, which this target line is for any, it's for actually for a Canadian digester or a batch digester, and say, look, let's start there. Let's see how close we can get everybody to that. So if you look here, this is an actual result. This is where the supplier started, and he moved the green line, which is the average, is all, and this is unscreened chips, is almost the same as the desired fraction. And that supplier is making a lot of money. He's not recycling material. So, and the pulp mills make a lot of money, so we can keep them in business. Questions? Quickly, we'll get into questions or not, Linda? No? Linda?
No. No.
Okay. Pardon me? Yes. Yeah. Come at 3:30. We'll go. At 3:30, I'll go through some more. I'll set my laptop up, and we'll have some more photos and stuff we can go through in detail. As I always say, whenever I do stuff, many of you guys know this, it's pretty crass, but it's true. The chip doctor apologizes for his bedside manner. He doesn't apologize for anything he says or does. I'm not known to be very political. Okay? I need to tell people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. I'm not a salesman. And that's what we do. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.